Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
What a difference an election makes, right? Without having to run again, with an eye on historical legacy, there is a cleansing effect from an election that frees a president from the careful calculations of a first term to the possible boldness of term two. Or simply, presidents can have it their own way without worrying so much about the reaction. Take the surprising all-male candidates proposed to take senior cabinet posts in term two. What the president wants, the president gets, regardless of appearances. On policy, this may be a moment for potentially bold turns as well. Yesterday, we learned that the Obama administration is now open to a so-called zero option in Afghanistan, meaning no American troops after 2014, rather than the open-ended training and support mission we've always heard about up till now. And after languishing in no comments and no action for 4 years, the president may be signaling action on climate change. Two perspective, two beats now, two terrific beat reporters join us. Joining us, Coral Davenport, energy and environmental correspondent for the National Journal. Also with us is Elizabeth Buemiller, Pentagon correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Coral and Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Hello.
Thank you.
So on environmental policy, the president seems to be signaling that something's going to happen in this administration. Does that feel like a change to you, Coral?
Well, the president campaigned very aggressively on doing something about climate change in 2008, tried really hard to push a big, sweeping, cap-and-trade, comprehensive climate change bill in the first term, and it crashed and burned and kind of became a politically toxic issue, after which no one even really wanted to talk about it. The political operatives in the White House really thought of it as something that was kind of an untouchable issue. They said, this is just not what we should focus on. But since re-election, literally since the night of re-election, the president has been coming back again and again. He talked about it. He addressed climate change in his election night speech. He talked about it on New Year's Day when he, you know, gave a speech about the fiscal cliff bill. He didn't need to do that. And he has said that it is one of his top three priorities. And my understanding is that he really does see this as a big legacy issue and something that he would like very much to be able to take on despite the political difficulty.
That's Coral Davenport, energy and environment correspondent for the National Journal. Elizabeth Buemiller, the campaign wasn't really dominated by much discussion of problems in Afghanistan, and you've chronicled them over the last several months in some of your reporting. Yet a trial balloon on a possible so-called zero option, no troops after 2014. How much of a departure do you think that is from what we've heard really for the last 4 years?
Well, that's certainly a big departure from where the president was in 2008 when he was campaigning and wanted to increase the number of troops in Afghanistan. And as we know, he sent in a large complement of troops, 33,000 extra troops, in his first term as part of what was called the surge. Those forces are all now back home. And what we're hearing out of the White House in the last couple of days is that the numbers get lower and lower and lower from what the military would like to keep in Afghanistan after 2014. And just this week, the Deputy National Security Advisor, Ben Rhodes, said in a conference call with reporters that zero was a viable option. Now, there's a lot of debate about this, and there's a view that this might just be a negotiating tactic with President Karzai of Afghanistan, who is in Washington today and tomorrow to talk to the president. And it might be a negotiating tactic to say, look, we don't have to leave any troops there, and what we need is a guarantee of immunity for those small number of troops who will be left in Afghanistan. That was, as you know, the sticking point in leaving troops in Iraq after the conflict was over. So right now there's thought that the number might be as low as 2,500, as low as 5,000.
If former Senator Chuck Hagel gets confirmed as head of the Pentagon, as Secretary of Defense, he would probably be even more resistant to a prolonged presence in Afghanistan. Yes, Elizabeth?
That's almost certainly true. We don't know exactly because he's not speaking ahead of his confirmation hearings. But if you look at what he said as recently as October, to Vietnam Magazine, which is a history publication, a very extensive interview, he said that the reason we're losing Afghanistan, which you would never hear that from somebody in the administration right now, that we're losing Afghanistan, he said the reason we're losing is that it was never ours to win or lose. And after 10 years of war, what do we have to show there? These are pretty withering comments. And he has been extremely skeptical throughout his history in the Senate of American involvement in these long-range wars because of his experience in Vietnam.
That's Elizabeth Buemiller, Pentagon correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. All right, then, before we go, what do you make of these possible changes? Would you chalk it up to the election is simply out of the way and is no longer a distraction? Or do you think this is really a legacy move, a bold move, a kind of real turn for the president who believes he can go his own way now that he's won an election last November? Coral?
On the issue of climate change, I think, again, this is something that this president sees very much as a legacy issue. You know, there are so many alarm bells going off right now on this issue. Just this week, NOAA came out with a report that 2012 was far and away the hottest year in the contiguous U.S. And a historic year in terms of weather disasters with Hurricane Sandy, record drought. Science came out in November showing that the planet is on track for a 2 degrees Celsius warming this century, which could really be catastrophic. And the rest of the world is watching for the U.S. to act on this very, very clearly. The U.S. is historically the highest contributor to global warming pollution. If President Obama fails to act, it really will be laid at his feet in the long term, in the course of history, that this would be a tremendous failure. And we really do see that this president is someone who's thinking hard about his legacy and who cares about this issue.
Elizabeth Buemiller, on Pentagon policy, do you think it's legacy or weariness with what's gone on in Afghanistan that's motivating this apparent change?
Well, I think it's both, obviously. I think that the president would like to be known as the president who ended both the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. However, he does not want to be known as the president who ended the war in Afghanistan, only to see that it falls back into chaos before the end of his second term. But I also think, of course, that it's war weariness. We've been at war for 11 years in Afghanistan. It's one of the longest wars in our history. We've spent more than $500 billion there. It's an extremely unpopular war with the American public. And so, yes, he wants this war over.
Elizabeth Buemiller, Pentagon correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and Coral Davenport, energy and environment correspondent for The National Journal. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And the Rockefeller Foundation. More at rockfound.org. Additional support for The Takeaway comes from Independent Lens, featuring soul food junkies. Filmmaker Byron Hurt explores the health advantages and disadvantages of soul food. Premieres Monday, January 14th at 10, 9 Central on PBS.